Welcome to the Driverless Crocodile Podcast.
Our theme for season one is ordinary people, good work. In each episode, we'll talk to someone normal, someone you've probably never heard of, who does work they think is important, does it pretty well, and is trying to do it better.
It's been a long time since we recorded an episode of the Driverless Crocodile Podcast. In this episode, I'm delighted to welcome my friend John Greenall to the podcast. We actually recorded this episode somewhat ad hoc in Jakarta Airport, so apologies in advance to John and to you for the sound quality, which is highly variable. Nevertheless, I hope you enjoy the excellent tool that John shares. Today, I'm with John Greenall. Hi, John.
Hi, Stu. Thanks for having me.
John is a contributor to Driverless Crocodile, a long-time supporter of the site. John, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, my name's John. I'm a medical doctor working in paediatrics part-time. I work for an organisation called the Christian Medical Fellowship. I work as associate CEO there and basically do a lot with our teams, both in the office and also our volunteer teams who are out around the UK and around the world. So that's me.
Okay, great. And today we're going to talk about a tool that you found helpful working with your team there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could you tell us about what the tool is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the tool's called Five Voices. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in my teams, I'm often in a number of teams, as I'm sure you have, over the years. And sometimes it's possible to sit around a team and think, you know, is my voice being heard here? You know, you put something into the mix and you kind of think, is that being listened to? There are times when other people might speak and you're thinking, you know, goodness me, you know, they've been a bit overly aggressive, or somebody's not giving their opinions, you're trying to draw someone out and they're just not giving their opinions, or you have someone else input and then it feels like they're trying to slow things down and you're just wanting to move things on, which as we'll hear, that's probably more likely to be my experience. And so this tool is, I've just found to be probably the most effective and simplest tool that I've found for use in my team to help us grow and understand one another as a team, and I just thoroughly recommend it.
Great. So tell us a little bit more. It's called Five Voices.
Five Voices, yeah. So what you might want to do is pause and just pop to fivevoices.com, that's the numerical fivevoices.com, and complete it. It's only 5 minutes, but you can do it after this.
So it's an online survey.
Online survey, free, dead easy to do. Okay. And we did it with I did it with my team. But effectively, it's a lot of people say, oh, it's another personality test. We're going to switch off now because I've done this before. Mm-hmm. But it isn't. It is based on Myers-Briggs, and it distills the 16 different types down into five. But rather than saying, this is your personality, therefore, this is a fixed thing, you know, this is your voice, and that's it, it doesn't do that. What it says is that we all speak with different voices, and the five voices that they mention are pioneer, creative, connector, guardian, and nurturer. And we all have those voices, but there are certain voices that we speak with which come more naturally to us. It's a bit like being right-handed, left-handed, you know. Mm-hmm. There's just certain things that just, they come more naturally. So they say that there is a foundational voice. There's something that you will naturally revert to, usually in a group situation. Yeah. And that has pros and cons. You know, there are many advantages of each voice, but also just being self-aware of it and being aware in our team of which voices people are speaking with into team situations, for me, has dramatically changed how I've worked in teams.
So this sounds fantastic. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about each of the voices, and then hopefully we can talk about ways that it's actually, you found it helpful in your team situation.
Absolutely. And just to say, as a preface to that, really, that, you know, a lot of these voices will come, some of them by nature, that's just how we're born. Some by nurture, it's just how we've grown up, so we may have had to shout a bit louder, for example, if we're one of many children in our house, and then sometimes out of choice, and we do choose sometimes. So this isn't to say this is a fixed thing, that you're forever going to be one of these voices.
It can be changed. Development, growth.
Absolutely.
And choosing
absolutely
different voices at different times.
Absolutely. So being aware of which voice you're bringing. And actually, it's about maturity and growing as a leader, as a team member, to actually both adapt ourselves, but also value the contribution of each voice. So the five voices, I mean, we'll start with nurturer. So there's a couple of quieter voices, and we need to be aware of that. So creatives and nurturers tend to be the quiet ones, but let's take a nurturer. So imagine, you know, you're storming a beach, it's the war, and you land on the beach and you're starting to kind of climb up, and the aim is to take the beach, and you're under heavy fire from, you know, enemy fire.
So Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan stuff, exactly. And you're up the beach, and you're kind of trudging up, and your comrade falls next to you. And a nurturer is the one who will immediately stop and will go and help that person who's fallen. That's what they're sort of tempted to do. Nurturers are champions of people. They love people. It's all about the people. They want relational health in the team. That's the most important thing, is that people are listened to.
So that's actually a very important glue within the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They seem to have this kind of innate understanding of how sort of actions and decisions may affect people, both on the team and in the organization. So they'll be speaking up for people like that. So, for example, they will appreciate everyone's contribution. They will be thinking, you know, has this been thought through? They'll be committed primarily to that relational harmony. But often their voice isn't particularly loud. They may be one of the last to give their contribution. Their voice may be drowned out a little bit. And so they're asking those questions that I was mentioning, how, what are people going to be upset about this decision? Who's going to hate this? And negatively, that can have a negative impact. So sometimes nurturers can be seen as resistant to change because they're so concerned about the impact on people. They might say that, you know, think that, for example, making money is an impure motive, that, you know, you're just out there to make money, or, you know, to change things, and perhaps can be seen as a bit passive aggressive. But obviously on the plus point, they bring so much about everybody's voice being heard, and about people being happy.
And if we can bring a key nurturer along, presumably they're going to be very helpful actually in the overall journey of the team.
Hugely.
Bringing everyone together.
Hugely. I mean, I think we know that in terms of teams being glued together. What's interesting from the research that was done by the Giant, the company that does this Five Voices, is that 43% of people they surveyed had nurturer as a foundational voice.
Wow.
So actually, nurturers are, there are a lot of nurturers out there. And you might find them in other things like the Belbin assessment as sort of team players, if you like. So that's a nurturer voice.
That's encouraging. People that care about people.
Absolutely.
43%.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay, and so what's the next voice?
So the next voice is a creative voice. And again, we have to be careful not to assume what this means. It doesn't mean sort of the most artistic sort of person. So really a creative is someone who are champions of innovation. They're out-of-the-box thinkers. They see kind of opportunities in the future before everyone else. They see dangers as well. And they're never satisfied with the status quo. So they're often the ones driving change. There are super early adopters. They are the ones right on the front of the curve of embracing change. And there's someone on my team who's a creative, and I found this incredibly helpful to unlock her, because she's got all these terrific ideas about change and about things moving forward. And yet sometimes we'll be asking the question, why don't people seem to fully appreciate my ideas? Why don't they get it? Why aren't they with me? Why aren't I being heard? And they want their voices to be heard, but actually it can be a very difficult voice to hear because it can get crowded out in the conversation. Mm. People don't often intuitively understand them.
So why is that? Why are they inclined to be crowded out like that?
So I think it's because they're so far ahead, perhaps, in their thinking. They're seeing things that other people aren't.
Right.
It just raises those sort of alarm bells in others who are thinking, well, we don't want to hear this voice.
So in communication, maybe they need to think about joining the dots for everyone and looking at that whole journey, or...
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, exactly. So they do need to do that. And I think they also need to remember often to celebrate what has been achieved. So if you're always looking for the next thing, you're always dissatisfied.
Mm.
Actually being able to say, do you know what? The 90% that we have achieved, good job.
Yeah.
Rather than just focusing on the 10% that we haven't
sure, and that helps achieved. Them to connect with people who are maybe...
Absolutely. Okay. And to value the contribution of other team, other voices, who will bring perhaps some pragmatism to some of the ideals that are being espoused by the creative. So yeah, on a negative side, actually that can be an impact of creative voices. And they need to listen.
This sense of dissatisfaction.
Dissatisfaction, or... perhaps ignoring financial restraints, you know, and other practical things, being a bit idealistic about things. So an incredibly valuable voice, but one that's difficult to hear. And another reason it's difficult to hear is because just 9% of people in this survey had creative as their foundational voice, but a really important voice to listen to.
So maybe an encouragement there, if you are a creative and you're looking for the other ones, you think, why does no one else get this?
Yeah.
It seems to be that there are fewer of these types of people around, and that's normal.
That's normal. Yeah. If you feel like you're the only one on the team like that, you may well be. And that means that those who are more the more dominant types, like the nurturers, for example, need to be aware of that.
Something for small teams maybe to be aware of as well, in terms of if this is an essential part of your project or what you're doing, making sure that you indeed have these voices.
Yeah, and for those who profile people, I don't know if you do this, but profile people before they join, to be aware of diversity in the team is good. And if you're lacking that voice, if you're lacking someone who's pushing the buttons and making everyone feel a bit uncomfortable, it can be quite nice because, hey, it's all nice and we just get through the meetings and nothing much seems to happen and no one gets frustrated with one another. But actually having the more disruptive voice, challenging us, pushing us a bit, can be really valuable.
Fantastic. Great. So the next voice is
The Guardian. The Guardian, yeah. So The Guardian is the next voice. And this came out bottom for me. So you'll hear me, I've got to be careful the way I speak about Guardians. But the Guardian voices are loud voices, but not as loud as the two that we'll finish with. But Guardian, and Guardians are also some of the most common as well. So 30% of people have Guardian as a foundational voice. Now, listen to this. Guardians are champions of responsibility and stewardship.
Right.
They like order and logic and procedure and process. They'll ask for clarity questions. They want to know everything before they make a decision. And they want to see that something's got an established track record. Is this going to work? Have we got the data to back this up?
So this is the person that's crushing the dreams of the creative.
And so if you're creative, it can be very frustrating because a guardian can be seen as just raining on the parade.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically saying, look, we need just to hold up. You've seen us putting on the brakes. And so on the plus side, there's this relentless commitment to ask difficult questions, to do the due diligence, and to, it's long, often a long-term solid commitment to the team. Once a guardian is in, they're in, because they've really considered it and they're not going to start to get distracted by other things. On the negative side, though, is that they can be sometimes quite forthright and rather than valuing people sometimes, like nurturers do, or valuing the opportunities that creatives do, they can be sometimes appear overly critical, and they will often stick by the party line and by policies, perhaps to overruling the feelings of others who may bring their feelings in.
So others might see them as a bit staid or
a bit closed,
to opportunities,
a bit tactless sometimes, a bit blunt.
Okay.
But a guardian would say, no, they're doing this for the good of the team. They're asking these questions because they're committed. And that's been something incredibly helpful. My boss is a guardian. And as we hear in a bit, I'm a pioneer. And it can be very frustrating as a pioneer to have a guardian ask hundreds of questions about things because you just want to get on with it. But actually recognizing that guardians are, many CEOs are guardians. You want guardians in your team. You want guardians at high levels of your decision making.
And these are some of the ways of thinking that are actually going to turn these wonderful ideas of the creative into something that actually works and lasts in the real world.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
So connector is next. Connectors are champions, again, of relationships, but of partnerships. So these are the people who get people to join in the cause. They're the ones who seem to know lots of people. They're the ones who say, yeah, I know someone who can do that. Again, a bit like the resource investigator Belbin scale. And they've got the woo factor. It's a strengths finder, another one of my favorite. Woo people. They're excited.
It's woo in the sense of being persuasive.
They're persuasive people, but they are also excited. They're excited about opportunities. They're excited about connections. And again, I've got a good friend who's a connector, and in fact, someone on my team as well is. And what's interesting is connectors like to receive appreciation, and sometimes credit as well for making connections. They find it highly motivating to connect what you're doing to other people, and to what you're doing. So they bring people in. And they get people excited about the mission.
So as we think about these roles we've already talked about, or these voices that we've already talked about, how would, say, it be important to help a creative listen to a connector or value a connector, and likewise say a guardian there. I think we can see quite clearly how the guardian might need to nurture that create or be more open to the ideas of the creative. Yeah. But if we think about a guardian in relation to a connector, how might that dynamic play out?
That's right. So, I mean, I think, you know, connectors can sometimes take it very personally. So when someone rejects their idea or says, you know, actually, you know, we need to do due diligence here, maybe a guardian, particularly.
Okay. So I want to bring in this new person.
Yeah, and then they say, well, actually, no, we need to ask some questions. We need to do some due diligence on that person. The message there is don't take it personally. Okay, yeah. Just because it's not as personal as it sometimes feels. Connectors can take things really personal, personally, and can become very defensive as well. And I've seen this happen as well with a connector on my team, very defensive on that. So I think just being patient. So just be patient when things take time, when there needs to be some rigor.
And think about maybe having if the guardian has established some sort of clear, hopefully not too bureaucratic process for bringing people in, so that the connector knows the way to
absolutely.
Do it. I can see that being helpful.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. And I think the guardians need to remember that as well. They need to be careful with how much they're saying and when they're putting the brakes on and how much they are to encourage the connectors and the creatives. And the guardians need to value those future-oriented voices, particularly the creative and the connector and also the pioneers. Because these are the guys who drive innovation and progress. These guys are going to bring the resources in to kind of do the mission that you're all there to complete.
Fantastic. Okay, so who do we have next?
So the last but not least is the pioneer. And it is quite funny because putting pioneers last is quite deliberate by the team, because actually this is the loudest voice of all and often the most assertive. And pioneers like to think they're special. So deliberately putting them last sometimes is quite helpful. But pioneers love to play the role of captain, to move everyone forward. So you go back to your beach analogy, your comrade falls at your side, but what you say is, I'll come back for you. The mission is to take the beachhead. When I've taken the beachhead, that's going to be best for you, because we're going to stop the enemy fire and we're all going to get there. So the pioneer is usually quite a relentless, future-oriented voice. Champions of change and ingenuity. Is what they say about them. So they're saying, what's the quickest, fastest, most efficient way to do things? We think future, we live in the future, and pioneers also love to actually add knowledge. They're always thirsty for knowledge and for people to come and speak into the situation, to learn from other people. So driving things forward. But again, pioneers are a small number. Connectors I didn't mention 11% of people. People have their primary work. Pioneers 7%. So they do think themselves are special, but it is because they are some of the most rare voices on the team. And they are, they basically bring almost a military strategic way of getting to the goal. They really drive teams forward. They've often got courage to make big, difficult decisions. They often can communicate quite in a compelling way, an attractive vision of the future, and they can get resources in line to actually reach that goal. So Pioneer, I'm excited about Pioneers because Pioneer is my foundational voice.
So, but perhaps a danger of putting vision before people?
Absolutely.
Or at least in the short, or being seen as putting vision before people?
Absolutely, yeah. So people are often not first. Sometimes it'll be that kind of back me or fight me kind of mentality.
Okay.
Often not hearing and valuing other voices. I'm totally guilty of this myself. Often thinking, this is the way to think. You're obstructing me, you're getting in my way. Of achieving this goal. Why are you asking all these questions?
And the temptation maybe just to leave people behind.
Yeah, they can leave people behind, or they can be insensitive and drive people too hard. So that's the sort of negative side of a pioneer.
Yeah. Okay, so this is fantastic. Do you have any insights to share about pulling this all together, or how you might use this tool?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And just going back to the beginning again, just reminding us that, nobody has just one voice. We all have all of those voices, but actually we will instinctively use one or two more than we will others. And I think the second thing to say is that each voice matters. Each brings a valuable perspective, and maturity and growing as a team means valuing all of those voices. So the best thing we can do for our team, I think, is to take time to learn about our own voice, but also the voice of each of our teams, and learn to appreciate them. And learn to nurture those voices. And I think some really helpful questions that we can ask ourselves. So we can, once you've done the assessment, you might ask yourself this question, you know, what percentage of time are you using your foundational voice? Do you get to use your foundational voice in your work on the team? Is it welcomed? What percentage of time are you using your fourth or fifth preferred voices? So for example, for me, if I'm in a role where I'm being asked to use a guardian voice most of the time, I get very frustrated. I'm not very satisfied. I'll be seeking out work where I can use my first and second voices. So that's a really good question to ask. Another good question to ask is, and I found this fascinating, which voices are celebrated in your organization? So which voices go on stage? Which voices get prime position in your weekly staff meetings? You know, who do we celebrate? You might think about your family as well. Which voices are celebrated in your family? Mm. And which voices are listened to? And conversely, which voices are viewed with suspicion?
So as a pioneer, for example, you might want to be building an organization or team that really values people and that is nurturing people and bringing them along, but you might look at what actually happens and say, hold on, this is not reflected in the voices that are being heard.
That's right. And you may look around your team and be wondering, why aren't I getting helpful contributions from that person, or why do they not feel heard, or why have they walked away from that meeting frustrated? How people conducted themselves within that meeting. So I found this incredibly helpful. And we've got to remember that the foundational voice, and the research from Giant shows us that we're often unconsciously competent at it. So we just naturally, I'm a pioneer, it just comes naturally, I can't help it. And, someone else that nurtures, it's just who they are. The second and third voices is more conscious competence. So I'm a creative nurturer. I'm kind of aware, that I can do those things quite well at times. Your fifth voice is your consciously incompetent voice.
The one
I know I'm not a brilliant guardian, for example. The fourth voice, they say, is an unconsciously incompetent. So it's you're not aware that you're not very good at it. So for me, it's connector, But sometimes maybe even think I'm a great connector, but maybe I'm just not as great as I thought. So just be aware of that, particularly the first, foundational voice, often it just comes naturally. But there's one that you don't do so well. But think about the ones in between,
okay,
more specifically.
So if someone was thinking about using this tool with their team, obviously listening to this podcast is a great place to start.
Absolutely.
Could you tell us that website again?
Yeah, so it's 5voices.com, and the 5 is the numerical 5, and it's by Giant Worldwide, who have really done this research.
So you would encourage people to do the test.
Yeah.
Take this to their teams, have their teams do the test, and then really just have a conversation sharing what you found and talking about.
Absolutely. There's a great resources on the website to help you do that, obviously, which I've just talked through some of those, and help people understand how they might better work on teams.
Well, John, this sounds like a fantastic tool. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, John, to find out more,
yeah, you can do. Yeah, get in touch with me. You can get in touch through the website, or I'm on johngreenwhite@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Cheers, John.
Thanks very much.